Dr. William Luther Pierce. Remember what happened to Anwar Sadat, 1997.
Hello. I've been asked to appear as a guest on a number of radio talk shows recently because of the public interest in the ongoing Denver trial of Oklahoma City bombing suspect Timothy McVeigh, and because of the news report that when McVeigh was arrested, he had with him an envelope containing a copy of the Declaration of Independence, a quotation from the writings of the 17th century English philosopher John Locke, and a photocopy of a page from my book, The Turner Diaries. I'm not sure which page, but some people have told me that it's a page on which a fictional bombing of the FBI headquarters in Washington is described. Callers on these talk shows will ask me, how dare you write a book that advocates killing innocent women and children? Now, most of these people haven't read the book, of course, but they have read what the controlled media have said about it, including perhaps one or two carefully selected little excerpts. And so I will explain patiently that my book doesn't advocate killing innocent women and children, that it is not a book of advocacy at all, but a novel. It does, however, predict that innocent women and children will die as a consequence of the government's policies. I explained that I observed the very troubling trends that were visible in the early 1970s, and then wrote a fictional scenario of what life might be like in the 1990s, if those trends continued. In my fictional scenario, I saw the continued breakdown of American society growing into increasing civil violence, or terrorism if you prefer, and eventual civil war. I explain all of this on these radio talk shows, but I still encounter talk show callers who tell me, if you hadn't written about these things, they wouldn't have happened. I guess the old idea about blaming the bearer of bad news is still valid. Back in the 1970s, the hostility I encountered was a little different. Then the hostility was based on the fact that I was predicting a bad outcome for policies that were politically correct. I was thinking bad thoughts about what the media said were good policies. Today, it's based on the fact that some of those bad thoughts are coming true. The fact is that when a society is coming apart, everybody looks for someone to blame. The folks who generally approve of the government's policies will blame the government's enemies. The folks who don't approve of the government's policies will blame the government. So today, I must expect to be called a baby killer by the people who support the government and the status quo, not because I approve of the Oklahoma City bombing. I don't approve of it, but because I predicted it in a general sort of way. Because I said back in 1975 that we're headed towards civil war in America. The really revealing thing about the mentality of the government's supporters is that the ones who yell the loudest about the government's enemies being baby killers aren't at all indignant about all of the babies that Bill Clinton and Janet Reno burned to death in that church in Waco 4 years ago. They don't call Bill Clinton and Janet Reno baby killers, which leads me to believe that it's not really the killing of innocent women and children they're outraged about. It's opposition to the government which upsets them. And I suppose it's always been that way in war. The only atrocities you really get worked up about are those committed by the other side. Well, one thing that's certain is that there will be many more atrocities committed before this war is over. Not because I said there will be, but because that's the nature of war. The government's supporters, and in fact, everyone who believes what the media bosses say in their newspapers and on their television, act outraged every time a bomb goes off outside of an abortion clinic or a homosexual club. They call it terrorism, and they blame it on religious fanatics or on patriots, and they demand that the government punish someone for it. They don't blame the government for encouraging homosexuals and encouraging people who think of abortion as a convenience. They don't blame the media and the government for telling sexually confused youngsters that homosexuality is an acceptable lifestyle. They don't blame the media and the government for encouraging abortion as a convenience for people with an irresponsible lifestyle. And it never occurs to them that more and more decent, patriotic Americans are sick and tired of seeing homosexuals arrogantly forcing their way into the mainstream and demanding to be accepted. It never occurs to them that more and more normal, law-abiding citizens are horrified by the enormous number of healthy white babies being aborted every year. It never occurs to them that more and more good, decent Americans are reaching the point where they simply aren't willing to tolerate these things any longer. Because the government's supporters are people who will accept any immorality, any atrocity on the part of the government, they can't imagine that there are people who won't. And so there will be more bombings of abortion clinics and of homosexual clubs and of government offices. And sometimes innocent bystanders will be killed. And it is a terrible thing when these innocent people are killed. It's terrible regardless of who kills them. But it will happen, not because I predict it, but because the government and the media will persist with their destructive policies, and because the government's supporters will continue supporting the government, at least for a while. Let me tell you about another atrocity in this war which happened just last week. In Detroit, there's a music company, a record company, called Resistance Records. They produce and sell mostly CDs, compact discs, of music by skinhead rock bands. Now, I personally can't stand any kind of rock music. I just don't like it. But many young people do, and Resistance Records sells a lot of CDs to them. But Resistance Records specializes in a type of music called white power rock. In fact, they're the world's biggest producer and distributor of white power rock. It's the music of white urban youth who have been abandoned by the Clinton government, who have found their racial roots, and who have banded together to protect themselves. And so the lyrics of their music, the lyrics of this white power rock, are racially conscious lyrics, and they're anti-government. It's really revolutionary music. The names of some of the bands whose music is produced by Resistance Records are Blood and Honor, Bound for Glory, Berserker, Brutal Attack, and No Remorse. It's militant music, and it's becoming increasingly popular among young people, and it has the Clintonistas worried. So early last Wednesday morning, a gang of heavily armed, jackbooted thugs, ostensibly representing the state of Michigan, kicked in the door of Resistance Records' Detroit office and charged in with guns drawn. They put a pistol to the head of the office caretaker, made him lie on the floor, then backed up a truck to the front door and carted off all of the company's stock of CDs, their business records, and their computers and other office equipment. And what do you think Resistance Records had done to warrant this sort of treatment? Were they planning to bomb the White House? Were they involved in a conspiracy to poison Detroit's water supply? No. The thugs said they were investigating whether or not Resistance Records had been turning over all of the sales taxes collected on CDs sold to Michigan residents. Now, let me assure you, that is not the way in which sales tax investigations normally are carried out in the state of Michigan. So when my office received the first telephone call from Resistance Records last Wednesday, telling us what was happening, I was skeptical. I thought that surely Resistance Records had done something worse than keeping sloppy sales tax records. I began checking into it. I got a copy of the search warrant. I talked to other people at Resistance Records. And the more I checked, the madder I got. Apparently, this raid really was based on nothing more than the pretense of a sales tax investigation. Now, whether Resistance Records owes sales tax to the state of Michigan or not, I don't know. But this raid quite obviously was conducted in the manner it was simply because the music these people produce and sell is politically incorrect. You know, and I know, that if this record company produced gangster rap CDs or rhythm and blues CDs or any other kind of politically correct Clinton administration approved music, this wouldn't have happened to them. They would have received a notice in the mail from the state tax department that their sales tax records were going to be audited, and everything would have been done in a polite and civilized manner. The way this raid was conducted, it almost seems that the government was hoping it would develop into another Waco or Ruby Ridge massacre, that the government was hoping someone at Resistance Records would resist the raid so the government would have an excuse to start shooting. Another chance for the government to flex its muscles and intimidate its opponents. Another chance to prove to the two-thirds to three-fourths of the population which still supports it that it still has everything under control. And another chance to get a pat on the head from its masters. Yes, the government's masters were involved too. The Detroit Free Press story reporting the raid had a comment from the Michigan chapter of B'nai B'rith, the powerful Jewish pressure group. Don Cohen, Michigan commissar of B'nai B'rith's Anti-Defamation League, approved of the raid and told the Detroit Free Press sneeringly, quote, "There always will be these hardcore hate groups. Our job is to expose them for what they are," end of quote. And he might have added, his job also is to show everyone that in the New World Order, political incorrectness will not be tolerated. I don't know whether it was Don Cohen who ordered this raid on Resistance Records or someone back in New York or Washington, but I'll tell you what I believe. I believe that the raid was carried out not only to silence Resistance Records, to put them out of business, but also to find out who their customers in Canada are. You see, at exactly the same time, the Michigan State Police were kicking in the front door of Resistance Records' Detroit office. At exactly the same time, Canadian secret police were raiding the homes of some of the people who work for Resistance Records, but who live right across the border in Canada. The Canadian secret police don't care about Michigan sales taxes. That's none of their business. They want to charge the Canadians who work for Resistance Records and the ordinary Canadian citizens who buy CDs from Resistance Records with hate crimes. You see, in Canada, the Jews have succeeded in obtaining the sort of legislation that the Clintonistas want in the United States. Legislation outlawing politically incorrect speech and politically incorrect music. Think about it for a minute. What Resistance Records is doing is constitutionally protected. Whether the Clintonistas and the Jews like their music or not isn't important. Whether I like it or not isn't important. They have a First Amendment right to publish it, and Americans have a First Amendment right to buy it and to listen to it and have their friends listen to it. Unfortunately, Canadians don't have the same rights in their country. The Jews and their collaborators have taken those rights away from them. And I believe that the real purpose of this raid was to obtain the customer list of resistance records and turn it over to the Canadian Thought Police so that they can prosecute Canadian citizens who have ordered music from resistance records. I believe that's the reason the raids in Detroit and in Canada last Wednesday were coordinated. The reason I believe this is that I've seen this sort of thing before. For example, Mr. Clinton's FBI shares information on the international travels of American citizens with the secret police in foreign countries, so that American citizens who have done nothing illegal under the laws of the United States, who have in fact done nothing except exercise their right to free speech in this country, can be arrested in other countries where politically incorrect speech has been outlawed. I told you in a couple of broadcasts last year about the arrest by the German secret police of American citizens Hans Schmidt and Gerhard Lauck. Mr. Schmidt publishes a newsletter in the United States which often is critical of the current German government and its policies. When he traveled to Germany last year to visit his elderly mother, he was seized at the airport by the German secret police. Mr. Lauck was arrested while in Denmark, extradited to Germany, put on trial for publishing politically incorrect materials in the United States, and is now serving a 4-year sentence in a German prison. In both of these cases, not only did the Clinton government assist the German police in arresting these two U.S. citizens, but it made no protest when they were prosecuted for perfectly legal activities which they had carried out entirely in the United States. Now, I believe that what happened to Resistance Records last Wednesday is an instance of governmental authorities in the United States helping the Canadian government prosecute its citizens for doing things in Canada which would be constitutionally protected if done in the United States, and incidentally, violating the civil rights of the folks at Resistance Records in the process. That is an atrocity. That is the New World Order in action. The government and its supporters believe that the only atrocities they have to worry about are the atrocities committed by the other side. They believe that they can commit all the atrocities they want because they have more muscle, more guns on their side. And at the moment, that's true. If anybody doesn't like it, if anybody gets out of line, why, if the secret police can't handle it, then Mr. Clinton's Jewish Secretary of Defense, William Cohen, will sic the army on him. Mr. Cohen's army will smash anybody who gets out of line, they believe. They've got their army and their air force and their navy trained to obey orders, to shoot anybody Mr. Cohen tells them to shoot. They think they can count on their army and their air force to defend their new world order and kill anybody who gets in their way. And for the most part, they're right. Most military officers these days are just politicians in uniform, lawyers with guns, who don't care about what's right and what's wrong. They do what the people who pay them tell them to do. Most of them, that is, but not all of them. Mr. Cohen's psychologists have a pretty effective program of brainwashing for the troops and a pretty effective program for weeding out any people who still insist on thinking for themselves after the brainwashing, any people who still have any old-fashioned patriotism or morality left. But Mr. Cohen doesn't get all of them. And some of these people who still do have a sense of right and wrong left in them have had about all they're going to take from the Clintonistas. They've had about all they're going to take of having to accept homosexuals into their ranks, of changing their way of fighting so that women can go into combat with them, of seeing the Constitution they've sworn to defend being subverted and trampled on by the politicians who give them their orders, of carrying out the policies of a government which murders its own citizens wholesale. Hey, Bill, remember what happened to Anwar? You got away with a lot of treason back during the Vietnam War, supporting America's enemies while those enemies were killing our young men over in Vietnam. You've gotten away with a lot more treason during the last 4 years. You think your buddy Cohen has the military people under control, don't you? And that you can get away with whatever you want. Well, believe me, you can't do it. You will find out that not all of the military people you order to back up your atrocious policies are as rotten as you are. One by one, they will rebel, and then two by two, and then there will be hell to pay. Not because I predicted it, but because your policies, your treason, your unpunished atrocities made it happen. When it happens, you remember that. And all of you still decent, still patriotic Americans, thanks for being with me again today.